Hello, this is a project about memories and the people who used to live in Tiger Bay, Bute Town, Cardiff Docks. And first of all, let me say thank you on behalf of us at HDA for Heritage Lottery for providing us with some funding for this short project. This next conversation is with June Wagstaff. And this is part one of three relatively short clips, 15 minutes odd, with June. And let me apologise for the quality of the recording. Unfortunately, because of COVID, we had to do these conversations via mobile phone. And every now and then, the quality is a bit of a problem. And that was the case with this interview. But I hope you can still hear her, and I hope you still spend the time listening. She is an interesting character, a good person, and part of what was the heart of the now destroyed Tiger Bay.
I was born in 6 Nelson Street. We should call Bute Town. Well, we was called Tiger Bay when I was born there. And I did a lovely thing, lovely grandparents and parents and aunties and what have you. It was lovely. I wish it was still the same. I'd still be there. But, you know, I can't complain about my life, really. I've worked all my life and I got three nice children and, you know, I got no qualms with anybody, really.
So you're born and brought up in Nelson Street, yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
So, what about your
parents? I lived in Northampton. My parents?
Yeah, where were they from?
From the docks.
And their
parents? My grandparents are from... My father's father was from Egypt.
Right.
And my mother's father was from Dominica.
Yeah, that...
That
perfectly sums up the bay, doesn't it? You know, one from Africa, one from the Caribbean. No chance they'd meet except in the bay.
That's right. Yeah, but there was... I don't know if you could understand it. Everybody got on so well. Mm. Nobody looked around and said, oh, he's black or she's white or anything like that. You know, we were all so close. I suppose you've spoken to Gaynor about it, have you?
Everybody. You know, Karen Alley and others. But, I mean, what gets me, my granddad arrived early 1900s from Barbados, settled in Barry. So I get entirely what you're saying. But yeah. Do you think everybody got on? Because everybody, even the white working class people, a lot of them were kind of from somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? From the valleys, from wherever.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you my father's mother was from Dorset.
Right.
But my mother's mother was from Grangetown.
Mm.
She had quite a few family there, you know, and we were just a lovely family. I never wanted to be anywhere else or with anybody else. My parents were workers, so we never went with, you know, people said they went without. Not a lot of people went without in Tiger Bay. Because everybody helped one another.
Yeah.
And you could always reach, if you were playing with one of the kids and it was tea time in there, you could have tea with them. And vice versa, they could have tea and mine.
Yeah. You know, I always say, I think the women used to cook for the street.
Oh, yes, yeah. Like my grandmother, she used to, on a Sunday after dinner, it would be either pancakes she'd be making, you call them Welsh cheesecakes, but we used to call them boat stones.
Yeah.
And she'd stand for hours then doing a big plateful. And Victor Parker always used to walk in and have a chat to my grandmother, but he was very relieved in the bloody big stones.
That's the guitarist, isn't it? Is that?
Yeah,
a bit of a legend, wasn't he, really?
Lovely Victor, lovely man. And my grandmother said, listen, Victor, I don't mind you, I love you, but Granny's all my kids, too. Oh, there were some characters down there then, but they're all gone now. That's what's so upsetting about it.
Yeah.
I mean, all the characters are gone. You know, as the people live where they were born, I don't think anybody wanted to leave. I mean, I've moved so many times. I had three pubs in the back when I was a landlady. I had the paddle steamer, I had the bosun, I had the white bath in Jersey. And I went up the valley for a few years and I had a pub up there. And I still loved the docks.
You had quality pubs, though, didn't you? Legend pubs.
Well, I made them legends. I never used to close. When I see a cop closing, I never used to close. And if I dug up and they thought I was going out in the night after closing, they'd say, where are you going? I say, nowhere. Well, we're all dressed up. Well, I say, it's nice to dress up now and again. But I didn't like to think I was going somewhere else.
But you set the tone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you set the tone. You dressed up. You looked after yourself. And it said, it said to all the customers, here you go, me and you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were there for me an hour at one time in the pub. Yeah, it was lovely.
Did you have a lot of music played in your pub? Live?
Oh, live music. Live music. I used to, on the Sunday afternoon, I used to have the Welsh Jazz Orchestra play. And they used to play for free, but it was such a lovely big bar, the paddle steamer. It used to be compact, and they had plenty of musicians coming from all over the place. Oh, yeah, we had all like music. Yeah, I love music.
But I think musicians attract musicians. No one watches musicians more than other musicians.
Musicians, that's right, yeah. And some of them would be working in the museum or in the pantomime or something, and when they finish work, they'd come down, they'd let them in, they'd be there all night, some of them, because that's the only time they could relax, you know?
And play, and play what they wanted to play.
Yeah, and I'm a bit of a singer myself, anyway.
I've heard this.
I sing a bit of jazz, yeah, I love it, I love music. I mean, I've seen Frank Sinatra like 5 times, I've seen Ella, I don't know how many times, Sarah Vaughan is my uncle. I've seen lots and lots. Now, we used to go to the Colston Hall in Bristol when there was anybody good there, but now that's all gone, isn't it? This black business. You know, why do we leave people alone? I love my background, I love my race, I love all the people.
Let me take you back a bit. What about school?
School?
Yeah, where'd you go?
Yeah. I went to St Mary's the Virgin first, and then they moved us up to St Mary's New Terrace. Well, my cousin and I was always together. But my cousin was darker than me because her father was, he was from Barbados, I think. He died at sea, he got drowned at sea. He was a lovely man, he told me. But my auntie Ella lived to over 100. Mm. But she was right, and Saunders was shopping there. That was her family. But my grandmother was an auntie, because my grandmother's eldest sister brought them up, because their mother died young, you know? And, yeah. You might think it sounds funny, but that's how close people were in those days.
No, I get it entirely. My gran was the same. And, you know, if anyone, and there's this thing about cousins and whether cousins are family or friends. Yeah, you know, it's the people your mum knew, your gran knew. They became. Yeah.
And everybody was uncle and auntie.
Yeah, and everybody, if one of them, something happened to their parents or whatever, they'd end up in your house for a couple of years.
Yeah. We are the one we used to call Auntie Peggy. She lived with my Auntie Dory, my mother's sister, and a cousin who's gone married and had a couple of kids. She ran and they were in a house that asked her to leave. So she came to my Auntie brought her own. And my granny and grandfather accepted her like as if she was their own. And she was with us. Well, she's dead now, but she was with us all of her life.
Yeah.
All of her life. And she was like a big sister to me, with my auntie was like a big sister as well, my mother's sister. But they were workers, they always went to work. You know, I've never known about the Social Security or the... Because we always worked. I've never been on Social Security, and never been on the sick.
A funny thing, isn't it? You weren't on the sick. It wasn't anything to do with a boss or whatever. It was to do with your own self-respect.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my mother's brother, Dick McCoy, he was a rugby referee. But his son, he played in a band when he was young as well, and my uncle Jimmy did. So there was all the music through the family. Yeah, like my grandson, Moe's, he's my eldest son, and he's going to Wales. He's a winner, isn't it? His name is Lucy Sammet.
Oh, a new kid. Thank you so much, June. I've had this argument the other day. Despite the accent, I'm born in London, but all my family are from Barry. Yeah? And that's where I spent my growing up. I had an argument the other day with someone from England who said, oh, Rhys Sammet, he'll be from some middle-class family somewhere. I said, Sammet, he's a bay boy. He's going to be a bay boy. And he said, no.
Well, he's never been down the bay.
No, but I know what I mean. You know, family stuff.
Yeah. My son always worked, and he married a girl from Cathedral Road. And then when the mother and father were about to retire, my son took over the hotel, and he actually bought it off him. So he didn't get married to me with son. 25, I think, like Joseph Cameron. And with a hotel and dealing, buying and selling a few cars. They had a good education. They went to the Cathedral School. Right. You know, so they had he got two boys and had a good education. But Lewis was excelled in sport.
Yeah.
So that's where Lewis Resanet is. He's my grandson.
The boy's going to be a legend. There's no two ways about it. But we've generated enough rugby legends, and particularly from the Bay. Isn't he just another one of those boys whose blood comes from the Bay, who's shown it? I mean, all of the rugby now. At least he's playing rugby union for Wales. All the boys who had to go north to the rugby league.
Of course they do, Billy Boston and Johnny Freeman, Colin Dixon. Wales would never have because of overcoloured.
Nah.
You know?
And they were working.
Which was a shame. It was terrible.
And they were working men who had to make a living.
Of course. I mean, today, the sportsmen, they get fantastic money. Now, I don't know what the rugby players get. I don't ask, but I know footballers do. But, you know, years ago, they had jobs.
Yeah.
And they played on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, most sportsmen had jobs. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people don't appreciate just how much the Bayers contributed to sport. What with...
Oh, there's a lovely
boxes,
place to live.
Boxers that come from the Bay, the Erskines.
Joey Erskine is like a cousin to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my grandfather lived with his nana. We were always, my uncle Dick, the rugby referee, was his father's best friend. We were brought up together. Now, my mother and Johnny Erskine, when they were kids, they were like brother and sister, because when Anna took her boy, she took my mother. So we're all mixed down there, and it was lovely. I'm so glad I was born down there, so happy.
One of the things people talk about from school days was wits and treats. Did you go on any?
Oh, yeah. And when the school stopped doing it, the kayaks club started doing it. But it was always on August Bank Holiday then. One wits and it was August. But used to put bonuses, the church used to put bonuses on lorries. You couldn't do it today. Then we'd all sit on these benches and lorries. You know, they weren't allowed to do.
Yeah, but for a kid, wow. It's exciting.
It was fabulous.
Yeah.
It was fabulous. It was. Again.
Don't worry, I can cut it out. Don't worry about it. But that thing about, for a kid from the Bay, being able to go somewhere to see a bit more green was special.
Yeah.
Although of course, for a lot of people will remember the park in the middle of Loudoun Square.
Oh, yeah, that was a playground. Yeah, it was lovely, the park, and they used to be packing for them as well. So that's what we had, and the paddling pool. You'd cut your feet every time you went in there. But at least you had it, you know. And I mean, a lot of the bigger boys used to swim in the canal, in the timber float. Lots of kids got drowned there in the summer. Quite a few children got drowned in those.